Thanks for tuning into Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
You know, I think I really started noticing this when we went to plant the Ferguson Florissant campus. There were some things that happened in our city. There was some tension in the country nationally, and there were these riots that were happening in St. Louis. And so Faith Church, you know, the love of God never fails. So we're just like, let's just love people more than we're loving them now, right? So let's go plant a campus up there. So we start driving the streets of Ferguson Florissant, and we would drive the streets in the daytime, and then I would go home and I would have nightmares. And the reason I would have nightmares is because we ended up planting a church in the very zip code that I was abused by my ex-husband in. So we would drive by this restaurant where something went down. We would drive by this place where we got pulled over, that I got accused of having an affair with the police officer that pulled us over, and I had to pay for that, where he used drugs. It was where he came into the house one day after a drug binge, and he was holding me down. I think he was trying to break my neck. He herniated my C7, and I just started screaming for help. I was like, "Help! Help!" as loud as I could. And he gave this evil laugh. He said, "Nobody's going to hear you." That was a house where he took a gun, not like a Glock with a clip where there could be a misfire out of the clip, but a revolver where a bullet was in each chamber. And when he pulled the trigger in my mouth, somehow a bullet didn't come out. And when I would have these nightmares about all these things that had happened at nighttime, I would wake up in the morning and I'd be like, "David, I just really need you today. I just need you to hold me. I just need you to keep me with you. I just need you to reassure me. I need you to make me feel safe." And he said, "I think I kind of like these nightmares because you're really cute and clingy afterwards." And I had to ask God, why? Why, God, where were you? Where were you when I asked you to heal my marriage? Where were you when I was getting my house foreclosed on? Where were you when he was abusing me? Where were you, God? Why weren't you helping me? Why didn't you deliver him from drugs? Where were you when I needed all of this reconciled? You ever ask God those kind of questions about, where were you at, God? Because I kind of need to know. And he answered me and he said, "I'll tell you where I was. I was keeping you from being killed. You wanted me to reconcile a marriage you were never supposed to be in." Anybody got the guts to admit when you're out of the will of God? "But I was keeping you alive when the devil was trying to kill you." You see, the devil was trying to kill me in the zip code because he knew we were bringing light back to that zip code. But I'm here to tell you, we serve a God who makes a way where there is no way. And when the bullet should come out, when the hammer hits the back of it, it's not coming out, because the devil can't steal, kill, and destroy. Not when God has come to give life and life more abundantly. That's Bible. That's John 10:10. Do you believe in Jesus today? Do you believe in his goodness and his mercy? Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just pray. I submit to words to you. I submit this message to you. These are your children. And I just ask you to put ingredients in my voice. I ask that you make me speak code that resonate with them so that you can help them and have them see you for who you are. All of me, all of you, none of me. God, help us. Lead us, guide us. Your plan's not ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my scripture for today is Deuteronomy 31:8, which I think we've all probably quoted in our lifetime. And it says, "The Lord himself, he goes out before us, and he will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged." Anybody ever quoted, "God's never going to leave me or forsake me"? Say amen. And I've read that, and I've read it as a big lump, but I think I forgot the most important word. I didn't realize just how much emphasis should be on the third word in that verse. So the third word, the Lord, I want to hear you, or city. Come on, everybody. The Lord himself. The Lord himself. If you're at home or online, I hope you're saying it out loud. The Lord himself goes before us. You see, when I was struggling in that house, God was not on his throne in heaven, chilling out, eating the marriage supper of the Lamb, picking his teeth, going, "I'm too busy up here. Send a cherubim angel to go out and handle the situation, take care of it. Today the God is the Godfather." He didn't say, "What, you can't handle it down there? I need a supervisor angel. Where's a supervisor angel? Supervisor angel, you get down there. Capiche? Handle the man."
What, you came back? You ain't handled it? Archangel Michael, where you at? Michael, get over here. I want to make sure you make him swim with the fishes.
When you preach the message, you get to write the story. You know what I'm saying? No, God's not like that. The Bible says, let's put that verse up again. The Bible says the Lord himself gets up off of his throne in heaven. Not because he heard your cry, but he knows when you're going to cry out. So he doesn't meet you where you are. He meets you where you're going to be. The Lord himself goes out before you into your future. He makes a way where there is no way. He clears a path where none could be given. He makes a path of righteousness in the middle of darkness. And then he sits down in that place and he waits for you to get there, because he's never going to leave his baby. He's never going to forsake his baby. God's hand is all over it. Somebody give him a worshipful hand of praise. Whew. And I was studying. I wanted to know, how do I know where God's been? And so I started studying fingerprints. There's three kinds of fingerprints. The first kind of fingerprints are called plastic fingerprints. And I brought that definition with me. And a plastic fingerprint is a 3D impression left in a substance like wax, mud, paint, dried blood. One of those I never want to see. It's that kind of stuff where your kids leave it in Play-Doh, and you can see what's happening with a plastic fingerprint. I think those are the times when we can look back and we see God. Like, oh my gosh, I just prayed for that thing, and as soon as I prayed for it, it just happened. Look at God! And then, like, you even tithe that week, you're so happy. That was funny. Then there's a second kind of fingerprint. The second kind of fingerprint is a patent fingerprint. The patent fingerprint is an image that's visible of a person's fingerprint because it's left like oil, ink, dirt, mud. Anybody got kids? Say amen. Amen. They leave their nasty little fingerprints all over the glass in your car. Say amen. Amen. That is a patent fingerprint. How many of you know your kids are a lot of other places in your house, but you can't see all those fingerprints? You see, that's when we can kind of see God sometimes, but it's not quite so clear. Like, well, I prayed that I would get healed, and then I was healed, and I think it was God, but the doctor said it was the medicine, and it looks like it, but I'm not positive. Did you know more than 99% of fingerprints are latent fingerprints? A latent fingerprint is a print that's left on a surface because of a deposit of oil, but you can't see it with the naked eye. You have to dust it with some kind of special power and a special technique to be able to reveal it. And that's my prayer for you today, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened according to Ephesians 1:18. That we're able to see God's fingerprints when we couldn't see them before. Because let me ask you a question. How many times have you been in a situation and you credited coincidence with what God has done? That's a question to write down. How many times have you credited, well, the money just came through. Well, but praise God, I just got the raise. Well, look at the Lord. I finally got an antibiotic that worked. Or even worse, we don't even notice when we got what we were praying for. You ever had a headache at lunchtime? You prayed for it. By the time you got to dinner, you kind of realized it was gone, but you don't even know when it left. Oh, come on. Y'all lying. I'm going to go talk to these people. Come on, our city. Come over here. I'm going to the right side. You all ever prayed that your boss would give you favor, and at some point it changed, but you didn't even notice it for weeks or months, and then you started saying, well, maybe finally he just noticed the job I was doing? I hope our city's clapping on the right. You see how they did it? Y'all need to get on board. Just a little bit sassy today. Just because you don't see him, it doesn't mean that you're alone in this. I was in a flight. I got a flight from LA to Birmingham, 5.5-hour flight. Or no, I was going to Atlanta and then to Birmingham. And I got an upgrade, and I was super excited about my first class upgrade. Those miles are going to work finally. I had some space. I spread out my books. I was going to study and pray on this plane. And I listened to one podcast, and I listened to a second podcast, and I listened to a third podcast. Sometimes we want God to reveal himself plastic easy with one podcast, or patent easy with a second podcast, but sometimes you got to seek the Lord. And in the third podcast, when I found God, he kicked my butt. Can I say that in church? Because that's what he did. He kicked my butt, and he was, Joyce Meyer's husband's name is Dave, and I thought it was coincidence until she was preaching, and she said, I was praying to God, and God said, I can't move on this until you treat your husband Dave better. Jesus, are you trying to get me to cook? Because ain't nobody gonna like that. But I started seeking God. How can I treat my husband better, honor him better, esteem him better, make him feel loved better, make sure he feels valued better? And she said, because God told me until I treated Dave better, she said, I would spend all this time praying, God, lift up my ministry. Give me influence in ministry. Send my voice out to people. Help me, God, to be effective. Draw people to the voice that you've given me, God. And I thought, well, I never even prayed that. I mean, I guess there's people out there that I'm supposed to help, and I know that I'm called, but I never asked that you would connect us. God, forgive me for not asking for you to connect me with people that I can help. God, I pray right now, Lord. Number one, I'm going to try to cook for my husband. But number two, God, help me. Help my voice go to the people. Help connect us, God. That was at 3 p.m. Landon got to Birmingham. He'd been in St. Louis, I'd been in Mississippi, but I don't know where all it was. I'd been all kinds of places. And so when we got there, he had gotten a bath bomb, some bubbles, and some flowers. And so we had ourselves a little spa day in a bathtub. It was the two of us, and don't worry, it wasn't sexy. I was at this end, he was at this end, and we were both on our phones. Here we are scrolling, right? But we're relaxing together, and it's nice. And I see this thing, and I'm like, no, somebody's playing with me. And I see another DM slide, and I'm like, it says the same thing. And so I finally had to look it up. And so they're going to put this on the screener city. What I saw was that Britney Spears had posted for over 84,000 likes and almost 2,400 comments. She posted about a two-year-old self-published book that I had written. God started connecting the dots. And started revealing something he had done. People were asking me like crazy. They're like, well, who do you know that knows Britney? I'm like, I don't know her brother's, uncle's, cousin's, sister's dog. There is no natural way that this could have happened. I have a question for you. What if online campus I had never prayed that prayer and asked God to help me influence the people that you wanted to touch? Friends, let me ask you this question. What if God's hand is out in front of you, painting a future for you, painting a blessing for you, painting an opportunity for you, and all he's waiting for is you to say, God, I believe you're bigger, I believe you're better, and I believe you have more for me than I can ask, think, or imagine according to E320. I tell you what, I believe this is my banner year. I know this is my jubilee. There's revival coming, and I'm up in the middle of it, God. I'm leaving here healed, set free, no addiction, blessed and highly favored in Jesus' name. Do you believe it? Just because you can't see him, just because you can't see his fingerprints, it doesn't mean that he's not working on your blessing right now. And sometimes we march right into the place we're supposed to be with a super bad attitude. So I've been in Mississippi. I was in Texas at a church. I was going to another church in Texas. My husband was flying in. My daughter was flying in. Vanessa was traveling with me. She was flying out. I had to be at three different places at the airport. The one church couldn't take me all the places. They were dropping me off to a rental car that wasn't there. The place was 20 minutes away. It was 95 degrees. I was hungry as can be. I had preached and I was tired. I was straight hangry and hot and sweaty. Can I talk to you for real? Do you want an honest pastor? So they're like, we'll send the rental car over. They kind of got a bad attitude. I kind of got a bad attitude. This dude pulls up. I get in the car, and praise the Lord, he had the air conditioning on. So first question out of his mouth, what do you do for a living? Well, right now I'm deciding whether or not I'm going to tell you the truth. That's what I do. Do I tell you I'm a conference speaker? When you tell people that you're a pastor, they either dump all their problems on you and want you to solve them in 30 seconds, or they tell you why they don't believe in God. This guy did both. He He's like, my name is Matthew. I'll tell you what happened to me. I was involved with a church in Dallas, and it was great, and it was good, and I was traveling with the pastor. It was incredible, but then my sister was on drugs, so my parents adopted her three kids, taking care of them, so my dad retired to do it. 6 months later, my dad has a heart attack. My mom can't afford to care for him. I have to quit college and come home and get a job and support a family that's not mine. Where was God in that? Can you prove to me that God is real? At that point, it was easy to smile and look at him. And I said, Matthew, everybody's come way too late to tell me that God isn't real. Because I was supposed to be dead in a house in Ferguson, Florida, and I was not supposed to live through that situation. I'm a pregnant, unwed mother at 17 years old, and somehow God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I was raped and molested, and what was supposed to be my tombstone became my stepping stone and my platform to proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Britney Spears just posted about my book. Do you know who I am? No, because I ain't nobody, but He is everything. He's everything. He said, I'm living in Las Vegas in a desert because I'm trying to take my LSAT. I got married. I went back to school. I got a 3.75. I'm a great test taker. Why can't I pass that test? That's why I'm in Dallas right now for 7 weeks to take the LSAT again. Why can't I pass the test? Where is God in this? God dropped it in my heart. See, God ever, like, give somebody a word for you that's so accurate, you're pretty sure they got a microphone in your bedroom? And I said, well, if you give me permission, I think God just spoke to me something about you. He's like, tell me. I couldn't look at him because I was 30, he's going to throw me out of the car. So I said, the Lord just revealed to me that you moved to Las Vegas to a desert because it's a physical manifestation of your spiritual condition. And He wanted you to be able to see that. Because He knows that you're called to Him. And if you will turn your life back to Him in the next 7 weeks, when you take that LSAT, you're going to pass it. You're not only going to pass it, you're going to get accepted to law school. But at that point, God will have a hold of your heart and you won't desire law school anymore. You and your wife are moving back to Dallas with your family and you're going to fulfill the call of God that has been on your life this whole time. When I was brave enough to look to see if He was going to hit me, there were just tears streaming down this grown man's face. We prayed in that car. And this hangry, sweaty preacher who thought she'd been inconvenienced was being moved by the hand of God because that was the moment that Matthew got saved, y'all. God is inconveniencing other people and putting them in your path because He has a moment of demarcation for you when you were walking one way, but He's going to get your attention. But we got to look for the fingerprints. So David flew in, and I'm like, David, we got to go pray with this guy. I told him what happened. We get back to him, and he said, I just want you to know, I called my wife. She was walking on a treadmill in Las Vegas, and when I told her what happened, she started sobbing so hard, she had to get off the treadmill and sit down on the floor in the middle of the gym, and my wife got saved too. I'm telling you, God is bigger than you can even imagine, bigger than you can even imagine. We're thoughtful. The text, 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to go through verses 8 through 20, and we're going to talk about what God reveals. You see, there's this guy, his name is Elisha, and the king of Syria, they're in a war together, our city, and what's happening is the king of Syria is setting up all these plans and ambushments and these snare traps because, like, Israel goes to the watering hole every day at 10. Let's put a trap there. Except for they're not getting stuck there. They're never going that way anymore. To the point where the king of Syria says, hey, I don't get what's happening here. Who in our camp is going to the Israelites and telling them what's coming? Show me, it says in verse 11, show me. Who's for the king of Israel? And in verse 12, he says, none of us is for the king of Israel. There's this guy. His name is Elisha. And God is listening in your bedroom and telling Elisha what's happening. What is that? That's the invisible hand of God going to work to deliver the Israelites. That's the invisible hand of God going to work to deliver you.
So he says, okay, here's what you're going to do. The king of Syria says, I want you to go and get an army. I want you to go get him. He's in Dothan Great, verse 14. Go get horses, go get chariots, and get a great army and surround the city. Why does it take horses and chariots and a great army to get one dude who's not even a warrior? Don't be worried when the enemy sends so much firepower out after you that you don't know what to do. Because God's got it handled. He's not only in heaven on the throne, he's already in your future. Amen?
But the other part of that made me think is, why does the devil have more faith in how big God is than we do? Why does he send an army after a man? Why are all those people after you? Why is every mouth at the business on you? Why are all of your clients lying about you? Why is all your competition lying about you? Why are all the kids at school lying about you? Why is the enemy coming with so much firepower? Because he's coming after one man or woman of God. And that's you. And the enemy might be coming, but the enemy is no match for God. No match.
So when he gets out there, they go to bed, they wake up the next morning, and Elijah's assistant wakes up and he looks outside, and he's like, boss, we got a problem. He says in verse 15, I don't know. Have you looked outside? I don't know what we're going to do. You know what goes on? It says, we don't walk by sight, we walk by. But the problem is we get to looking at our problems in the natural, and we can't do the math on our miracle, and we can't figure out how we're going to get out of it. The whole time, God's been here. But the whole time, we couldn't see it because we were looking with our natural eyes. What God is asking us to do, what God is asking you to do, is to say, quit trusting yourself with this situation. I need you to look at this with the eyes of faith. I need you to look at this with the eyes of the Spirit. I need to not look at man's plans, but God's ways, and realize how much bigger I am than this whole situation. Trust that I have been there, and trust that I will not let you down. Just because you can't see him. You're not alone in this situation. Now, our friends in Florida know this. Now, Missouri doesn't know anything about a Cat 5 hurricane. But there was this hurricane named Dorian that was just coming towards us not that long ago. And we were praying at Faith Church. We know how to control the weather.
What?
Oh, yeah, Jesus did it. He said, peace, be still. We spoke to Dorian. Dorian, you will scatter, you will dissipate, and you will head back out into the ocean in the name of Jesus. And you turn on the news and you watch that very same storm decimate the Bahamas, and they say it's coming straight for you. It's going to do that to your house next. Natural eyes, spiritual eyes, invisible hand of God going to work, and you don't even know. See, what our Florida campuses didn't know is at that exact moment, here's God, and he's going to work, and he's out in front of them, and he's working on this conference in North Carolina. We didn't know it, but we get a text. Somebody just happened to be in the room and said, y'all are in Florida, and we're at this conference, and everybody's here to be fed and be pet and be worshipped, and just they want to leave feeling so good. But the pastor got up there and said, this isn't about us right now. We're going to stand up, and we're going to pray for the next 5 minutes, and we're going to speak to Dorian, and we've got friends in Florida, and Dorian is not going to touch Florida. The invisible hand of God had a whole congregation of people praying for our deliverance. God will be moving on people across the nation, across the world, to pray for you, and you might not ever know it. And let me tell you how good God is. God didn't downgrade it from a 5 to a 4, or a 5 to a 2, or a 5 to a 1. It didn't even get to be a tropical storm. What was a Category 5 hurricane was a light day of rain in Florida, just like any other day. God can handle the devil. God can handle your problem. God can handle your situation. He can take catastrophe and turn it into a testimony. You just watch what God can do with your life. Somebody ought to praise him because he's good. And that's when Elijah said to his servant, what is my prayer for you today?
It was in verse 17. And Elisha said to his servant, Lord, I pray, open the eyes that he may see. That's my prayer for you. Open our eyes. God, show us. Increase our faith. Every now and then, we get a glimpse of a fourth man in the fire. We get a glimpse at the fingerprints, but get this, my friends, the fingerprints aren't the proof. They're just what's left behind. We sang a song in worship today. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. My God, there is none like you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, there's none like you. Moses couldn't see God, but he held back the Red Sea. David couldn't see God's hand on the stone, but God guided it right into Goliath's forehead. Joshua couldn't see what God was going to do in the Jordan when they were stuck on one side with all the Israelites, but it didn't stop God from parting the Jordan and letting them walk across. The Israelites didn't see how the walls of Jericho were going to come down, but this I know, they walked around them 7 times and never lifted a finger, and it didn't stop God from ripping down walls that they could have never ripped down. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. My God, never stop working, never stop, never stop. In World War II, people said, where was God? And you might be saying that in your life right now. Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? I said it about my past. I said, where were you, God? Admiral Chester Nimitz wrote a book. He said either the Japanese made the 3 biggest mistakes in the history of all war, or the hand of God was protecting America. You see, there was supposed to be 38,000 men on those ships that day. But it just so happened 9 out of 10 men were on shore leave that day. The hand of God was pulling men off that boat just as quick as they were listening and getting them onto safe dry land. They bombed the battleships, but they didn't go just a few feet over and bomb the dry docks. And if they had, every ship that had been wrecked and in disrepair would have been towed to America to get repaired, and we would have lost the war. 5 miles away on dry land, clearly marked, was the only fuel supply in the entire theater of war for the entire Pacific Ocean. One plane, one bomb, we wouldn't have been able to move, and we would have lost the war. We get to thinking, God, where are you at? God, where are you at? Even when I don't see him, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. My God, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. John 14, verse 16 and 17. Actually, I'm going to read you the whole thing. It says, and I pray that the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. He's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him. Do we have to see him? And it sees him or knows him, but you know him, and he dwells with you, and he will be in. And the pastors are going to come pray after we sing for a minute. They're going to pray a prayer of salvation. But I feel led to pray for you right now. I feel led to pray for your eyesight. And if you know that you need your spiritual eyes opened wider, would you stand with me and lift your hands to heaven? Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop. One more time, Ashton. Father God, I pray for 20/20 visibility, to be able to see with clearly, not only with hindsight, God, but give us foresight so we never make a misstep and we never waste any time, we never waste any funds, we never waste any energy, God. Help us be in the complete, unadulterated will of God. We don't want to look back at the revival and say, I should have been there. We don't want to look back at the opportunity and say, I should have been there. God, open our eyes that we may see. We lift up our faith. We increase the way we seek you. We pray big, bold prayers, and there will be no what ifs. We run after you with full force, and we say, God, we pray your will in our life, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.